So welcome to class 7 out of our 10-week series, The Principles and Practices of Prosperity. Tonight, we're going to look at three interrelated powerful spiritual practices, and that is faith, expectation, and detachment. They are all a key part of understanding prosperity and building a greater prosperity consciousness. So let's start with faith. So what is this thing we call faith? People are always talking about faith. You got to have faith. You know, you got to keep the faith. You got to hold on to your faith. You know, you need more faith. Don't lose your faith. You know, I need to renew my faith. And so what is this thing called faith? Interestingly, Jesus, whenever he healed someone, he never said, "Hey, look what I did for you. Hey, lucky you." He, you know what words he actually said? "Your faith has made you well. It is done unto you according to your faith." So there's a clear idea. If it is done unto us according to our faith, it is your faith that has made you whole. Clearly, there is something good that happens when you have faith. Some good results come forth or are created with this thing called faith. In the book of Hebrews 11:1, it says this: "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." So faith is this positive, hope-filled belief that knows that there is more and there are greater possibilities beyond what we're currently seeing and experiencing. It is a positive, hope-filled belief that knows that there is more than what we're seeing right here, right now. Faith is a conviction that we will be provided for, that life can get better, that life will get better, that it does get better, that there is more than enough for whatever it is we're seeking or desiring, whatever solution that we want, whatever greater levels of joy or peace or happiness or success. It is that ability to see that thing before we can actually see it. Here's a horrible cartoon, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. There's this dog, and the dog says, "I love chili." He's talking to a cat. "I love chili, but they never let me eat chili." And the cat says, "Oh, they say that's not for dogs, huh?" And he said, "Yeah, I smell them cooking chili, and they never let me taste it." And the cat says, "Well, if you've never actually tasted it, how do you know you're going to love it?" He said, "Because I have faith." That's okay. I tell it every year. No one laughs. Anyway, so it doesn't matter. So maybe it's a faith I have that one day someone might laugh. So Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, said this. He said, "Faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance." That sounds like a goofy thing, but here's what he's saying. Faith is our ability to perceive with our minds that greater things are out there, that there are these greater and more wonderful things, that there is some positive outcome out there. Plus, we can actually shape what that good thing looks like. That we can call forth that good invisible thing that we know that's possible into peace of mind or increased financial abundance or healing in our harmony and in our relationships and our family, or to be a better leader, you know, to feel more patience and kindness. I mean, anything you can imagine to improve your golf game, anything you can think of, we have the ability not just to have this faith to perceive the greater things are out there, but we can shape it and call it forth into whatever it is we'd like it to be. And so whether it's a tangible thing like a new job or a feeling of peace or a greater health and energy and vitality, it doesn't matter its form, that we can actually shape this thing with our faith. And so every one of us has got faith. Everyone has used faith. I'm sure everybody has always had an experience of having an intention or a desire for something, knowing that was going to happen. that I think we've all had an experience of faith. And the fact is, faith is truly one of the building blocks of life, that everything we see in life has come from faith. We wouldn't get out of bed in the morning if we didn't have faith. Let's look at a fabulous scripture in the book of Matthew, and it's the centurion's faith. It's Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13, and it says, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I tell one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done as you have believed." And the servant was healed in that moment. And so one of the things here that's really powerful is that Jesus is impressed with this guy of how much faith he's got, that if he just says the word, not even going to his house and seeing the servant, that it will be done. That he has that faith. And what he's comparing, the reason he's saying he hasn't found anyone in Israel with that much faith is that they just kind of think it's going to happen. They don't have to do anything. But this man is actually exercising his faith. He's actually putting his faith into practice. And one of the things I always think that people get a little bit confused is, you know, when they say, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. It almost sounds like, oh, you hardly need any at all. And that's not what it's saying at all. Let me read you what the parable actually says. This is in Matthew 13. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet it grows and it becomes one of the largest plants, so that birds will come and perch in its branches." And so what it is really saying here, a mustard seed is one of the smallest, but it actually grows into a huge tree that is actually able to support, birds and other things. And so what he's talking about is a growing faith, that you don't need to start with much, but what does matter is, are you growing that faith? Are you expanding that faith? Are you putting it into practice like the centurion and having faith that the things that you believe in and desire will come forth? Like everything else in life, it takes practice and work to get better at things, and including increasing and growing our faith. You know, there's a story about this man who's having a dream with these two dogs, and in it, you know, the dogs are fighting, and he goes to the chief after and says, "Hey, I'm having this dream about these two dogs, and I wonder which one will win." And the chief says, "Well, the one that'll win it's the one that you feed the most." And the fact is fear going to win, or is faith going to win? And the question is, what are you feeding the most in your life? Are you feeding fear through worry and anxiety and doubt? Or are we feeding our faith, you know, through prayer and affirmation and belief, you know, through reading inspirational stories and feeding our minds with positive things? And so we need to ask ourselves, am I really growing my faith? Am I even working on it? Am I trying to strengthen it and expand it? And just like a mustard seed, it needs to be watered, it needs to be nourished, it needs to be fertilized to give it the environment for it to grow. And that's what we need to do in the soil of our mind. We need to make sure that we are trying to increase and expand our faith. And the number one thing is, are you immersing your mind in the soil of God? You know, that's what our 40 minutes of meditation are about. It is about immersing your mind in the consciousness of God, in the mind of God, that will strengthen, and then it will deepen the roots of our faith, so that we will be unshakable during the difficult and challenging times, but also being able to grow stronger to support greater dreams and goals and desires. So faith, you know, it is done unto you according to your faith. That we need to be working on our faith, and the greatest thing to do that is to work on our connection, on our oneness with the very source that makes it all possible. And again, another reminder of why it's so important, more than anything else, is to be seeking God with all of our heart, to seek God first, to make that the priority of our lives. So faith is important, and I think that expectation is kicking up faith with a level of enthusiasm and excitement that this good thing is coming. When I was a kid, I used to watch the Oral Roberts show. It was so funny. I didn't like going to church, but when I would pretend to be sick enough to not have to go to church, I would end up turning on the TV and watching church on TV. Apparently, when you're a kid, anything on TV will be entertaining, but I happen to actually like watching church on TV. And Oral Roberts was my favorite because it began with a line, and then they would sing the song, but the actual line was, "Something good is going to happen to you today." And I'm a little kid, and I'm standing right in front of the TV watching it, and I'm hearing some good crap to me. And I was like, I got all excited, something. And then they started singing it, and it was like, man, I just got all jazzed up about the whole deal. And all day, I kept looking around for what was this good thing that was going to come to me. Now, in a family of 10, my mom baked bread for the whole family every Sunday night. And so the smell of homemade bread, and we had to go to bed like about 8 o'clock, and it'd be coming out about 8 o'clock. So, you know, you try and go to the restroom or something just in time to try and go by the kitchen. And if I got a piece of homemade bread and butter with some cheese on it, I was thinking, something good happened to me today. And I'll tell you what was interesting, looking back on it, that the something good was not just about the bread or whatever it is. I played my brother and sister a game and won. It was about how I felt all day. That there was a heightened excitement about life and being more aware and looking around. And I thought that was really, really cool. Something good is going to happen to you today. You know, expectancy is this... it is looking forward and having a joyful anticipation of some good thing to happen into one's life. And it is a really great and wonderful tool that I think sometimes we don't always use or understand. Let me give you a scripture about it. And it says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it. Think about that. Believing that you received it means kind of like you're expecting it. That you're ready for it. You believe it. You know it. You're ready to accept it as a part of your life. Whatever you have, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. So there's a certain energy. It's not just asking it, but there's a certain emotional component and excitement and enthusiasm that goes along with the manifestation and the attraction of that very thing that we're seeking. Here's a quote in a book called The Power of Expectations from David Blunt, and it says, if you think little and believe little and pray little and expect little, you receive little. But if you think big and believe big and pray big and expect big, you'll receive big. God's plans for us are big, but God can only meet us at the level of our expectations. Dr. Robert Rosenthal is sort of the leading researcher in expectations theory. And he did some powerful studies back in the late 60s in the San Francisco School District. And one of the things he did was he had three teachers from a school come into his office. And he said to them, you guys are the best teachers for your respective grades. And as a reward for that, we're going to give you the top 30 students in your respective grades. And since you're the best teachers and they're the best students, we are expecting you to have good grades from them. So the year goes by and they come back and they not only lead their school in their respective grades with the highest grade point averages, they also happen to lead the entire San Francisco school district with their particular grade point averages for the respective classes. So the principal brings him in. Congratulations, you've done a fabulous job. Awesome, good stuff. And he says, you know, I just got to tell you something, and that is those 30 kids that you got that we said that were so, you know, at the top of their class, he said, they're actually were just picked at random. And the teachers were a little surprised, but they thought, you know, wow, well that is even more impressive because, you know, they weren't that impressive. They were just average. And he said, well, I got another little something to tell you. And he said, you were also chosen at random. But here's the interesting thing. Same teachers, same students, same curriculum. The only thing different was the expectation. What they expected from themselves, what they expected from their students, and the expectation that was also set for them by their principal. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, how much are you using the power of expectation in your own life? Like, what kind of week were you expecting to have? What kind of day were you expecting to have? What kind of life are we expecting to have? And so I want you to think of, and I think most of us don't really even think of expectation in the course of our day. Sometimes we get up and think, I got to do this and this and this, and get up and go do this, this, and this. And we don't always infuse our day with the energy and the power of expectation. And so think of a situation in your life that may not be going as well as you'd like. And I want you to think, what is your current expectation of how that situation will turn out? What is your current expectation for that particular situation? And then here's another one. What's a more positive expectation that you could hold for that very same situation? And are you willing to create a space to allow God to have something good happen for you in that situation? And so I want you to pick a situation, and I want you to write an expectation down that is higher than the one. You don't need to write the current one, you know it. Just write down the one, a higher expectation of what you would like to have the outcome of that particular situation to be. But one of the things I'd love us to do and think about is to think about how you can supercharge your life with the power of expectation. Like, what kind of day would you like to expect to have tomorrow? Or even waking up every day and thinking to yourself, something good is going to happen to me today. So just a simple affirmation of just acknowledging that and affirming that will really begin to, and the thing I love about it, I think it takes faith and it supercharges it with enthusiasm, joyful anticipation, and a certain excitement. To me, that's what I really love about the energy. It takes faith and it expands it and it increases it in an enthusiastic and joyful way. And the thing is, just like with affirmations, I think it is that emotional component and that energy that gets infused into the thing that we're either saying, writing, thinking about, or envisioning. All right, so faith and expectation. Something good is going to happen to me today. Let's say that together. Something good is going to happen to me today. And so I want you to use that in whatever form to supercharge the desires, your intentions at the beginning of your day. You know, reset and infuse and supercharge your day with the power of expectancy. And, you know, faith and expectancy, I think we clearly get how powerful and important they are, what a wonderful benefit they can be to bringing forth more good in our lives. But there's a third spiritual power and practice that I think can seem counterintuitive to bringing forth more good, but I think it's hugely powerful and important, and that is the power and the practice of detachment. Sometimes we think that if we hear detachment, it sounds like we don't care or it doesn't really matter, that being detached, it might mean disconnected and not really having any true desire or really wanting something. But when we talk about detachment, it really means it's about letting go of the anxiety and the stress and the tension that we can sometimes create when we really want to have something. Anybody ever wanted something so badly that you were a little anxious or stressed about it? When I was a kid, I used to love my mom making cakes, and I used to be looking at the oven and watching the cake, waiting to kind of open in the oven, checking it out. And sometimes we get like that with life. When's it coming? How come it's not coming yet? It should be here already. Why not? And we think that it's helping it come. It's actually resisting it. And so being detached isn't not about not caring. It's about letting go of the tension and the anxiety. Because detachment is actually fear-based. I mean, attachment is fear-based. Detachment is actually faith-based. Because it's to let it go and trusting that it's actually going to come. That I don't have to worry or freak out or force it, because it's going to come. When we are so attached and keeping open the oven door, it is based on fear. Thinking it's not going to come, so we better make sure it comes quickly before I lose it. And so we really need to look at our lives. Is there a place in my life where I'm holding on a little too much, where I'm a little too attached, where I'm worried, where I'm anxious, where part of me thinking it's really not coming, so I want it to come fast. And so what detachment is, it's just about letting go of the stress and the worry of it, just having faith that it'll come when it's supposed to. You know, in Scripture, when it says, do not be anxious about anything, but with thankful hearts and prayer, make your request known to God. And that's what it's really talking about. It's want what you want, desire what you want, just don't be anxious about it. Just have faith and let it go to God, knowing that it'll come in its right and perfect time and right and perfect way. And this is really called the law of surrender. It is a law of detachment. Some call it the art of allowing. But either way, it's about having a desire and releasing it and joyously just opening a way for it to come forth without stressing or worrying or being fearful about it. When we are overly attached, it just tends to focus on not having. And when we are detached, we are actually open, trusting that abundance is there. So let's talk about, and I think we brought this up in one of the classes, and that is, how do you know where that balance point is of wanting it and knowing to let go of the attachment to it and the detachment of the asking but then allowing? Because I'd mentioned in one of the classes, I always got confused with Scripture when it would say things like, you know, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you, decide upon a thing and it will be established for you. And unity is always affirm it and see it and believe it. And then you'd get the thy will be done. You know, your Father knows even before you ask, and all these things that are like more relaxed and just trusting that it'll happen. And the other one is like, hey, let's ask for it. And I was always a little bit confused about which way to go. And the thing is, I think it's both. I think you are supposed to ask. I think you're supposed to affirm and claim and know, but then let it go. And that's the hard part for us. But I'll tell you, unity taught me a line that really helped me more than anything else, and that is, God, this or something better. Because I would get attached to my thing. Everybody would want this thing, whatever that thing is. And it's hard to sometimes learn to let, but when you say this or something better, I think I could let go of this for something better. And so that's the thing. It's the energy behind it. It's one thing to have faith and expectation, but attachment takes it a little further, and it starts causing us some internal stress and anxiety, and that creates resistance, and it actually pushes. It's like opening the oven. You release heat, which makes it takes longer for the thing to cook. You're not helping it. It's actually hurting it. And so sometimes we don't realize we're doing that to ourselves, that we are creating resistance from the very thing we're seeking by being too anxious and kind of wanting it too much. I'm sure we've all heard of couples who were trying and trying to get pregnant, and then they stopped and they started filling out adoption papers, and 2 months later, they're pregnant. And so sometimes it's just letting go of the anxiety and the stress and just allowing it to happen. And I think for most of us as human beings, any form of letting go from, you know, forgiving or letting go of the past, to including detaching and letting go to spirit, all forms of letting go take us a bit of work, because we tend to, all forms of holding on tend to make us feel more secure. Feeling attached, we think, is actually secure. It's actually not. It's actually fear-based, and it focuses on lack and what isn't there. And so it takes a little work for us to talk ourselves through to actually just let it go, and to trust it'll come in the way it should. And then the best thing we can do is actually just go keep enjoying our lives instead of keep thinking of that thing. So these are three powerful spiritual practices that help us understand prosperity, and also it helps us build a prosperity consciousness. Work on feeding our faith. The more time spent centered in spirit, and then supercharge what we want with our the power of expectation, and then detaching and just letting it go, trusting and knowing that that or something better will come forth. Amen.